भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 17, The History of Kaliya. I'd like to take a moment to explain how his name is pronounced. It's Kaliya, ka, ka, ka. Think of a crow, ka, ka, ka. Kala means black. Kaliya, not Kaliya. There's no long I, Kaliya. Okay, now we got that down. Today we're reading verse number 1 and the chapter summary. The history of Kaliya. This chapter describes how Kaliya left the island of the snakes and how the sleeping residents of Vrindavan were saved from a forest fire. When King Parikshit inquired about Kaliya's leaving Ramanuka Island, the abode of the serpents, and about why Garuda acted inimically toward him, Sri Shukadeva Goswami replied as follows. All the serpents on the island were afraid of being devoured by Garuda. To placate him, every month they would leave various offerings for him at the foot of a banyan tree. But Kaliya, puffed up as he was with false pride, would eat these offerings himself. Hearing of this, Garuda became furious and went to kill Kaliya, whereupon the snake began biting the great bird. Garuda fiercely beat him with his wing, sending Kaliya fleeing for his life to a lake adjoining the Yamuna River. Prior to the above incident, Garuda had once come to the Yamuna and started eating some fish. Sobhari Rishi had tried to stop him, but Garuda, agitated by hunger, had refused to heed the sage's prohibitions, and in response, the sage had cursed Garuda that if he ever came there again, he would immediately die. Kaliya had heard of this, and thus he lived there without fear. In the end, however, he was driven out by Sri Krishna. When Balaram and all the residents of Vrindavan saw Sri Krishna rise up out of the lake, beautifully decorated with many different gems and ornaments, they embraced him in great pleasure. The spiritual masters, priests, and learned brahmanas then told Nanda Maharaj, the king of the cowherds, that although his son had been caught in the grips of Kaliya, it was by the king's good fortune that he was now free again. Because the people of Vrindavan were quite worn out by hunger, thirst, and fatigue, they spent that night on the banks of the Yamuna. In the middle of the night, a fire happened to blaze up within the forest, which had become dry during the hot season. As the fire surrounded the sleeping inhabitants of Vrindavan, they suddenly awoke and rushed to Sri Krishna for protection. Then the unlimitedly powerful Lord Sri Krishna, seeing his dear relatives and friends so distressed, immediately swallowed up the terrible forest fire. The word meanings for text 1, Sri Raj Uvacha, the king said, Naga of the serpents, Alayam, the residence, Ramanukam, the island named Ramanuka, Katam, why, Tatyaja, gave up, Kaliya, Kritam, was made, Kimva, and why, Suparnasya, of Garuda, Tena, with him, Kaliya, Ekena, alone, Asamanjasam, enmity. Sri Rajavacha, Nagalayam Ranamakam, Katam tatyaja kaliya, kritam kimva suparnasya, tena kena samanjasam, nagalayam ramanakam, katam tatyaja kaliya, kritam kimba suparnasya, Kena samanjasam. Nagalayam ramanakam. Katam tutyaja kaliya. Kritam kimva suparnasya. Tenai kena samanjasam. Ladies. Kritam kimba suparnasya. Tena kena samanjasam. Nagalayam ramanakam. Kritam totya jakalya. Kritam kimba suparnasya. Tena kena samanjasam. Translation. Having thus heard how Lord Krishna chastised Kaliya, King Parikshit inquired, why did Kaliya leave Ramanaka Island, the abode of the serpents, and why did Garuda become so antagonistic toward him alone? And there's no purport. Homo jnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshun militamena. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Well, not much philosophy in today's verse. I thought I'd take the opportunity to talk about Garuda. Garuda is a great devotee of the Lord. We don't actually talk about him that much. We have him here present in our temple. As is traditional in Vishnu temples, Garuda stands at the outside, generally, or just inside. Like in Puri, we know, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stand near the Garuda Stambha. Stambha means a pillar, so often Garuda stands on a pillar inside the temple or outside the temple. So what's he doing there? Well, he's Krishna's car. He's out in the driveway waiting for service. Whenever Krishna wants to go anywhere, then he travels on Garuda, which, of course, makes Garuda extremely fortunate. We are hearing how Kaliya, he doesn't have to worry about Garuda anymore because he's going to have Krishna's footprints on his head. Well, Garuda is always being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. In different descriptions of Garuda arriving here and there, or Krishna arriving on Garuda, he always comes on Garuda when he descends. He comes from Vaikuntha, travels on Garuda. And sometimes he's standing. I think we have a picture or two in the Bhagavatam of him standing there. But in many places it says seated on Garuda. So it's a nice kind of vehicle. You can sit or stand. Yeah, your option, how to travel. And of course, everywhere that Lord Vishnu goes, then Garuda is there. Even Krishna, when Krishna was fighting Indra after stealing the Parijata flower, he was on Garuda fighting, and Satyabhama was on there with him. So you can imagine what that was like. the fight was going on, and Satyabhama's there riding along with Krishna, enjoying the fun. So Garuda's, not only does he carry Krishna here and there, Lord Vishnu especially, but he also is involved in different pastimes. When the fighting goes on, sometimes he fights. There's one, I forget who he was fighting, maybe with Indra. And Indra, I think, with his wing, he struck Airavata with his wing. And in the Bali Maharaj pastime, it was Garuda who bound up Bali Maharaj. And it said there, Prabhupada says in a purport, that because Garuda is a pure devotee, pure servant of Lord Vishnu, he could understand the intention of the Lord. So he didn't have to say anything. The Lord didn't have to say anything, but Garuda understood. This, of course, is the indication of a first-class servant. He understands the mind of the master. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vainateyas Chapakshinam. Among birds, I am Vinata. That's a name. Vainateya, rather. Vinata is his mother's name. So his name is Vainateya. So Krishna says, among birds, I am Garuda. And in the Narayana Kavacha prayers, the shield you invoke by chanting the mantra, Garuda is mentioned as most worshipable because he's as powerful as the Supreme Lord, and he's the personified Vedas. Also, when he flaps his wings, the vibration is the Samaveda. So, of course, he's extremely auspicious. His form is described in different places. There's one Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, famous Acharya, Vedanta Deshika. He lived at the end of the 13th and beginning of the 14th century, Vedanta Deshika. So he composed a book called Garuda Panchasat. And in there he describes the features of Garuda. He's half human and half bird. He has the talons, beak, head, and wings of a bird, and a body and limbs of a human. And he's red, he has a white face, red body, and golden wings. It's really beautiful, isn't it? I always like that combination for some reason, red and gold together. It's very striking. So he's very beautiful. He's called the King of the Birds. Paratri Raj is one of his names, King of the Birds. In the 11th canto, also Krishna, in the Uddhava Gita, he says the same thing, that of birds, I am Garuda. He uses different words there, but he says the same thing, essentially. So His birth is quite extraordinary. He, of course, comes along at the beginning of the creation. You know how in the beginning, Lord Brahma, he has to populate the universe. So he creates first from his mind great sages. So one of those sages is Marichi. And one of the sons of Marichi is Kasyapa. So we hear a lot about Kasyapa because of Kasyapa and his wives, really, population really took off, you know, filling up the universe. So Kasyapa he married 13 daughters of Daksha, but in another verse there are four more added. So 17 daughters, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur confirms this in a commentary in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So he had 17 wives that were daughters of Daksha. Some of them we're very familiar with, like Diti and Aditi, of course. From Diti came the Daityas, or the demons. And from Aditi came the Adityas, or the demigods. And then from Danu came the Danavas. We often hear about the Daityas and Danavas, for those are different classes of demons. So these are all descendants or children of a couple of the wives of Kasyapa. Kasyapa was a great ascetic. He's another example of someone who performed great austerities for a long time and became very, very powerful from that. So two other wives of his were Vinata and Kadru. So they were rivals. They didn't like each other. They were always fighting. And Kasyapa asked them, he said, I'll give you whatever boon you want. So Vinata said, I want two very powerful sons, extremely powerful son. And Kudjuru said, I want 1,000 snakes as my sons. So so somehow or other, they both had eggs. I'm not sure what that's all about, but Vinata had 2 eggs, and Kudjuru had 1,000 eggs. And they were waiting a long time. And I read in one place, they were both impatient because it was taking a long time for them to hatch. So Kudjuru, she steamed up the eggs and they hatched. So she got her 1,000 snakes. And then Vinata was waiting 500 years. She was waiting and still the eggs weren't hatching. So she cracked one of them open and a half-formed entity came out. It was a human, some kind of human, but half-formed, so it didn't have its full power and effulgence. And that entity is called Aruna, also called Aruru, Aruna. So you may have heard of Arun. This is a very popular Indian name, Arun. Aruna means the red at sunrise. We have the Arunodaya Kirtan. Yeah, that's what it's called. Udilo Aruna Pura Bapage. So that's Aruna. So that's who was produced from that egg. And he's also the chariot driver of the sun god, Aruna. But he was angry because he was deformed. So he cursed his mother, Vinata, that she would become a slave of her sister. But then, as often happens, along with the curse came a benediction that your other son will deliver you from this curse. So she waited another 500 years. So finally, after 1,000 years, Garuda bursts forth from the egg, and he's so powerful that the demigods are shaking, and they're thinking that it's the cosmic dissolution. Now, this is the end of the Brahma's day or something. One of these dissolutions is about to take place. This powerful entity, he went up in the sky, and he was brighter than the sun. So all the devas, they begged him, please, control yourself or withdraw some of your power. So he made himself a little less powerful. But because his mother was, at that time, she had lost a bet. What happened was she did become enslaved by her sister. They had a bet. That's how she became her slave, because she lost the bet. The bet was, because they were always fighting, so you know they had to bet for some reason. They just had to do it. You know how people are very argumentative sometimes. You say one thing and they just have to say the other thing, opposite thing, you know. So the bet was, because the churning of the ocean of milk had gone on during this whole period, and one of the creatures that was, I didn't say creature, but who came out of it was Uchaistrava, the horse. So this horse was produced from the churning of the ocean. And they had a bet about what color the horse's tail was. They had to do something with their time, I guess. So they argued about that. And Kudjuru said his tail was black, and Vinata said he was white. So the next day they said, well, we'll check it out. We'll check it out tomorrow. So they went to check it out, and it turned out that the horse's tail was black, but it wasn't actually black. It was disguised by all the black snakes. Kudjuru had sent all her snake sons there to cover up the horse's tail, so she cheated. She won the bet anyway. She cheated. So Vinata became her slave. In some places it says she brought her down to Patala Loka, and that's where she was imprisoned, and she was surrounded by all the snakes. So Garuda was also serving in that way. In fact, when his mother was a slave, then he was part of the package deal, you might say. So he also had to serve the snakes. In fact, he carried the snakes to Ramanaka Island that we're hearing about here. So he didn't like this. So he decided he was going to do something about it, release his mother. So he asked the snakes, how can I release my mother from this imprisonment or in slavery that she's under? And the snakes said, if you get us the amrita that was produced by churning the ocean, that the demigods have, we want to get that because we didn't get it. Of course, the whole story of Mohini Murti, how the devas got it. So the snakes, they wanted to get this nectar of immortality, the amrita. So they said, if you can get that for us, then we'll release your mother from her bondage. So Garuda immediately took off to Devaloka, the heavenly planets, to get the nectar. But the demigods, they didn't want to get it stolen, so they had it very well protected. First, they had a whole army of soldiers, and all the devas were protecting it. And then they had this ring of fire around it. It says the flames were high in the sky, and they were agitated by fierce winds. So first he had to get through that, which wasn't hard for Garuda. He just swallowed, he just took in a bunch of rivers, and he just wet them all, washed them all down, destroyed all the flames. Then he had to get through this some kind of contraption, which was had it was a mechanical contraption. It had all these blades whirling around, like having to go through a bunch of fans, basically. So he made himself very small, and he slipped through that. And then there were two extremely poisonous snakes guarding it, and he took care of them too, because he's just so powerful. Then he stole the nectar, and he was carrying it in his mouth without swallowing it. So on the way back to bring it to the snakes, he ran across Lord Vishnu. Of course, Vishnu is also one of the devas, so there was, but they didn't have a fight. He was fighting with other devas, but they didn't fight there. They made an exchange. And Lord Vishnu said, you can have immortality. That's what I'll give you. And Garuda, he said, I'll become your carrier. So that's how that arrangement was made. He said, you can have immortality without having to drink the nectar. That was what Garuda got. And Lord Vishnu got Garuda as his carrier. So then he met Lord Indra, and there was also an exchange that took place. Because Indra is one of the devas, and he wanted to get the nectar. He wanted to get the amrita. So Garuda said, I'll make some arrangement that you get the amrita, you get the nectar. And in exchange, you can have snakes as your food. Now that's how the arrangement was made. Because Garuda didn't like the snakes, obviously. He'd imprisoned his mother. They were his enemy. Actually, I think of these things all at the beginning of the creation, how they're all related. They're all half-brothers, right? Even the devas and the asuras, they're half-brothers. They have the same father and different mothers. So they're very closely related, but still all this enmity goes on. So in any case, when Garuda delivered the nectar, then he put it down on the darba grass in front of the devas, and he said, you shouldn't just drink this right away. You need to go take your purificatory bath, go do your ablutions. So while they did that, then Indra snuck in and he stole it. He stole the nectar. That's how he got the nectar. But a few drops were spilled there. So when the snakes came back, they said, hey, what happened to the nectar? And they tried to lick it up off the darba grass, and they split their tongues when they were doing that. And that's why snakes have split tongues. That's how the story goes. So this, one of the extraordinary feats of Garuda. But he, of course, Garuda, as I was saying, he's always there with Lord Vishnu. He's always there in the scene. We have some really nice scenes of him arriving. There's one, I think it's when Lord Brahma sees Vaikuntha. Then there's a description there of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu is standing next to Garuda, and he has one hand placed on Garuda, resting like that, like you might put your hand on the side of your car when you're talking to somebody. So he has his hand resting on Garuda, one hand, and in the other hand he twirls a lotus flower. So the definition of cool. Twirling a lotus flower and resting his hand. And in other places it says, I think it was when he went to see Prithu. He arrived at Prithu Mars as sacrifice. And Prabhupada explains, I think it's in the purport where he explains that he had his hand resting on Garuda because he had to stabilize himself because he wasn't used to standing on the ground. He usually goes through the air. So, you know, because to stand on the ground, he was balancing himself with the aid of Garuda. So Garuda is always there to serve the Supreme Lord. Now Garuda, of course, he's also, of the six Vaishnava Puranas, or Puranas in the mode of goodness, one of them is the Garuda Purana. I went online, I was just looking to see, get some idea about it. And first of all, in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that it has 19,000 verses. Nowadays they say it has 8,000, but a lot of times these Puranas aren't complete by the time they get to us in written form. But originally it was 19,000 verses. has a lot in there about, has gem, it's like the authority on gems, gemology, has medicine, architecture, these kinds of things, has a lot about death, what happens to the impious soul, going to the abode of the Amaraj, different kinds of punishments. And the setting of it is, it's interesting, it's actually spoken by Suta Goswami to the sages at Naimisharanya. And much of it is a conversation between Lord Vishnu and Garuda. So Garuda is glorifying the Supreme Lord. But of course there are other parts to it too. And there are some famous verses. In our books, there are quite a few quotes from the Garuda Purana. Now, the Garuda Purana is about Vaishnavism. It's not about worshipping demigods. It's about worshipping Lord Vishnu. One verse that we're all familiar with, Om Pavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva Smarit Pundarikaksham Sabaya Abhyantara Suchi. So that verse that we chant before we do fire sacrifices. Whether you're pure or impure, if you remember the Pundarikaksha, the lotus-eyed Lord, then you will be clean within and without. And there's another famous verse, it's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Artoyam Brahma Sutranam. It's a whole description of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says that the Bhagavatam is the commentary on the Brahma Sutras. It's the explanation of the Gayatri. It says how many chapters there are, how many verses there are, and so on. So that's all that is there in the Garuda Purana. So one little piece of information. In the Brihadbhagavatamrita, there's a description there. You know the Brihadbhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, who wrote the book, also wrote commentary on it. And our Brihadbhagavatamrita and the commentary by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, he basically took Sanatana Goswami's commentary with very few changes. So Sanatana Goswami explains in his commentary that the residents, that sometimes we hear in Krishna's pastime that some personality is a demigod, like Drona became Nanda, is it, I think? So that we hear like that and we think, wait a minute, Nanda is an eternal associate of Krishna. Sometimes this maybe get a little bewildering. So Sanatana Goswami explains that the residents of Vrindavan, the eternal associates of Krishna, they have forms not only in Goloka Vrindavan, but also in Vaikuntha. Just like the Nanda, who serves Lord Vishnu, is an expansion of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. And they also come also as demigods in the material world. So to say sometimes that they came as a demigod, it's actually the original person coming. So in the case of Garuda, Garuda is sometimes called a demigod. Of course, that's he's on that high level. But he, in Goloka Vrindavan, is Sridhama. Sridhama, and there are two forms of Garuda. There's one in Vaikuntha, and then there's the demigod Garuda that I was just talking about, this pastime of his birth and so on. So Krishna's friend, Sridhama, serves Krishna in Vaikuntha as his carrier Garuda, and also when he comes to the material world as Garuda. When I read this, I thought, gee, I wonder in that pastime of Pralambasura where they had to carry each other. Remember that there was a competition went on and the team that lost had to carry the winning team on their back. So I thought, I wonder if Sridhama carried Krishna. So I looked it up and it was actually the other way around. Krishna carried Sridhama in that Leela. So I guess to make up for that, now he eternally carries him as Lord Garuda. So Garuda, of course, is an extremely important devotee and very... He's the definition of being the servant of Krishna. I came across a phrase, I was reading, I think it was in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how our perfection is to remember always that we're servants of Krishna. And I was thinking I usually don't think like that. I think I better chant my rounds or I'm going to go to hell or something like that. That's my motivation is more on that level. So, but we're actually supposed to be thinking, no, I am the servant of Krishna. So I'm supposed to be thinking, how can I serve Krishna? So here we have the emblem of service to Krishna, Garuda. He's always there and he knows exactly what the Lord needs and he's always there to render service to him. So in this pastime, we're hearing about here in this section of the Bhagavatam, maybe Garuda seems kind of ordinary in certain ways. Of course, we know in one thing he was extraordinary because this sage, Subhari, was it? Yes, that he had this disagreement with Garuda, then he lost his spiritual power because of that offense to this great Vaishnava. So he's a great Vaishnava whom we have to remember. And there are certain prayers also. It says actually in that Narayana Kavacha prayer that he's glorified with the best prayers because of his exalted position. So I'll just read the verse again. Sri Raja Vacha Nagalayam Ramanakam Katam Tatyaja Kaliyah Kutam Kimba Suparnasya Tenai Kena Samanjasam. Having thus heard how Lord Krishna chastised Kaliya, King Parikshit inquired, why did Kaliya leave Ramanaka Island, the abode of the serpents, and why did Garuda become so antagonistic toward him alone? So, anything? Jarita Prabhu? Yeah.
This bothered me ever since I've read Krishna book the first time. Garuda likes snakes. That's his natural fare. So when he was getting his offering on Ramanaka Island, what are they going to offer him? He's going to make an offering of a snake, a live snake? I mean, all the snakes have to get and pick a snake? And then the thing that really gets me, I mean, they're giving one of their own? Okay, well, that's conceivable. But then Kaliya is taking the offering? Is he eating the young snake? I mean, what is that? What, you know what I'm saying? Or is it something else they're giving it some offering?
Why is Kaliya eating the snakes?
Well, that's what it says.
Yeah. He didn't like the arrangement. He was upset that this arrangement, there was some arrangement was made. I forget what the basis of it was. Well, because Garuda was eating all the snakes. So they said, we'll just give you one at a time. And then Kaliya said, hey, I don't like this, so I'm just going to steal it. Yeah. Actually, one thing I didn't mention about Garuda's form, which is interesting because he's the enemy of snakes, but he's decorated with snakes. He has this is from this Vedanta Deshika in his book. He says this. He says that he had around his left wrist is Sheshanaga, and there are other snakes that are mentioned. Takshika is his belt, and his Brahmin thread is Vasuki. So why that is, I don't know. That's the way it's explained. And also, I was saying that wherever Garuda goes, wherever Vishnu goes, then Garuda is always there. But when Garuda brought Mandara Mountain to the churning of the ocean, then he had to leave because Lord Vishnu said, well, you can't stay here because Vasuki's here. They need him to churn, so you can't be in the same place he is. So you have to leave. Yes, Guru.
In that regard, I was talking about eating snakes, being a devotee of Krishna, how do we take it as he's not vegetarian?
You know, remember, there's one conversation where I think it's in the Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, where devotees say, well, they say that Christ ate meat. Prabhupada said, well, that may be or not be. He says, anyway, he's a Vaishnava. He can eat the whole world if he wants, Prabhupada said. So Vaishnava is so powerful, they can do anything. And there's that tejiyasam na doshaya. This comes up in, of course, in the context of Krishna's Rasa Leela. But if someone is though the extremely powerful persons, we shouldn't criticize them because they have the power. And just like a fire burns up anything that goes into it, so anything that may be bad, seem bad or inauspicious to us, it's not actually bad because they're so powerful. Dvaite badra badra gyan sab mano dharma. There's also that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. To think this is good and this is bad in the material world, that's a mistake. So these devotees, they act on a higher level. We have our own standard of morality that's given to us as ordinary human beings in this world, given to us by higher authorities. But they're above the rules, you might say. A personal associate of Krishna, he can do anything. And if Krishna makes the arrangement that you die being eaten by Garuda, that's probably not so bad. Just like it says that those who were shot by the arrows of Arjuna, they got liberation. So if you're killed by Krishna's devotee, that's pretty good. A lot worse ways to be killed than that. Yeah, Trivikram Prabhu. Oh, Pundarik.
There is a wonderful temple in Vrindavan where Garud Govinda, that was where Govinda took on the form. He took, he rode on Sridhama's shoulders like that. He took the form of Garud. I was trying to actually remember.
Oh.
Sridhama or Sudama.
It's a different pastime.
Sridhama, yeah. He's a very beautiful deity, very ancient. I think it's original deity from Red, Krishna's great-grandson, Vajra. Krishna, Govinda has eight arms, and he's riding on Govinda. Sometimes the pujari will...
He's riding on Garuda.
Give darshan, charan darshan, yeah. He's riding on Govinda.
Oh, they don't know, you can't always see Garuda?
No, you can see the head, but sometimes they let you see the lotus feet of Garuda and Govinda like that.
Hmm.
And Lord Chaitanya also rode on the shoulders of Murari Gupta.
Murari Gupta, yes.
He took the form of Garuda. One other thing that I was thinking about is that in the Krishna book, I believe it's Srila Prabhupada mentions that Sobhari Muni, although he cursed Garuda not to come back to that place, which is just upstream from Krishna Balaram temple like that, Sonrak it's called, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Garuda, being a great Vaishnava, he couldn't be affected by the curse of Sobhari Muni like that. So I was always thinking that how is this possible that Govardhan Hill could have been cursed by Pulastya, no? That we sink like that. But the secret is revealed in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that, that Govardhan Hill is actually diminishing. Because it's diminishing, historically we can see even Raghunath Dasi wanted to commit suicide by jumping off Govardhan Hill. It's not possible nowadays. But we can see it sinking. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita it mentions how that Govardhan Hill is diminishing by the separate feelings of separation from Krishna like that.
What, Chivikram?
There's a nice little story with Garuda and Indra, Lord Vishnu. Indra told Garuda that you're so powerful, you don't need to be a carrier of someone else. So Garuda started to think about it a little bit, and he said, maybe this is true. And he started to act a little indifferent. So Lord Vishnu knew, he already knew what's going on. He sensed that. So he said, Garuda, let me put my hand on your shoulder. So he put his hand on Garuda's shoulder, and Garuda immediately fell down. He immediately fell down. And not only that, all his feathers fell off his body. See? And he started to tremble. And immediately he started to beg forgiveness from Lord Vishnu. He said, you know, I thought I was powerful, but I realize I'm not. That's in the Mahabharata.
Yeah, the story of Garuda is told in the first book of the Mahabharata. His appearance is described there. Did you read it, Prabhu? Garud.
Yeah. Saubhari. You're also
Saubhari Muni.
Saubhari and also Garuda. No one ever says Garuda, but there's no more you there. But.
Garuda. No one will know who you mean if you say it that way. Yeah. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.